To a podcast from West Hill United Church. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click on the Canada Helps button or go to westhill.net/donate.
Contrary to some of your beliefs, I do take time off periodically. And this past week was a week that I took several days off, following upon a couple of weeks of almost incessant preparation for special services, the annual meeting, and things like that. And so I spent some time with my mom, and I spent time with my daughter and her family, and got back late last evening. The upshot of that is that you get to do the sermon today. You get to bring the perspectives and wrap the S around it before it even leaves this room. And so I have for you some ideas that I'd like you to think about that I'm going to share with you. But the movie Her, which many of you know, is a movie about a man living in this beautiful, pristine, yet world that Jones was still trying to make tactile and human, and falling in love with his operating system. Dana, do you have the trailer? The concept is that computer technology advances to the point that an operating system can respond and learn from anything that the person is saying or putting into it, and so become someone that that person can so relate with that they can actually fall in love with them. Now, I currently use an operating system, Windows 8, and a lot of it is supposed to intuitively remember what I do. So, and on my BlackBerry phone, it's supposed to remember what I type in, so that it gets to know me really, really well. And it can practically type my emails or fill out my documents without me really having to think about it very much. Now, it hasn't figured out that I don't use a capital G on Greta yet, and I've typed Greta many, many times, so I'm not sure that we're really on the brink of what might happen in Her quite yet. And I posted to Facebook this week an article from the New Yorker about Bill Gates' first day back at work when he was trying to install Windows 8.1 on his own computer and finally had to bring in the head of Microsoft to help him with it, and together the two of them reinstalled Windows 7 to some very colorful language and never did get Windows 8.1 installed. So we're not on the brink of the kind of world that Theodore Twombly is living in, with operating systems that can be as intuitive and learn as well as we would like them to do, but we may not actually be very far from it. And it is possible that in the future we will be able to have a responsive relationship with an operating system that grows, intuits, becomes empathic, can sympathize with us because of what they've picked up from elsewhere on the net, and so respond to situations as a human would. The question that some of the movie brings to us are questions about what do we do with computers that can think? And what is it that we're already doing with a technological society that has developed to the point that it has? Throughout the movie Her, you see Twombly walking around with this little thing in his ear, with which he hears everything Samantha, his operating system, tells him. And he has this big safety pin in his breast pocket so that his phone can be up high enough that the camera can see everything, so that Samantha can actually see where he's going and what he's doing, because the camera's there. Well, he's got this big, you'd think that they would have created pockets for operating systems like that, but he uses this big safety pin, a somewhat archaic item, in his pocket, so that she can participate fully in his life. And one of the questions that came up that was at the very end of the New York Times review is, the question isn't can computers think, but the question is whether or not humans can continue to feel in that kind of a world, and what kind of feeling, how do we validate the kind of feeling that will be experienced in that world. So I have a couple of quotes that I wanted to read to you. One was on the beginning of the service. Half of the quote was up there. But there was another part of the quote that takes us deeper into the conversation. Sometimes I think I have felt everything I'm ever going to feel. I think that's what was on the slide. And from here on out, I'm not going to feel anything new. just lesser versions of what I've already felt. So if we are kind of our own operating system, and as we experience something new, our synapses fire off in some new way, and we have some kind of experience, some kind of feeling about that, and it, you know, whether it's the newness of it or whether it's just the experience, once those synapses have fired in that particular pattern, it's just kind of downhill from there. You know, like, is that the reality of what we experience? And then the other one is reading from that Samantha is saying toward the end of the movie. And she says, it's like I'm reading a book. And you got to remember, she's an operating system. She can commune with other operating systems. She can talk to other people anywhere else because she's not fastened to a geographic position. She's not stuck in a single relationship. She can fire her synapses out anywhere and connect with almost anything that happens to be online at the time. It's like I'm reading a book, and it's a book I deeply love. But I'm reading it slowly now, so the words are really far apart, and the spaces between the words are almost infinite. I can still feel you and the words of our story, but it's in this endless space between the words that I'm finding myself now. It's a place that's not of the physical world. It's where everything else is that I didn't even know existed. I love you so much, but this is where I am now, and this is who I am now. And I need you to let me go. As much as I want to, I can't live your book anymore. So I've got some questions on the, I hope, on the next slide. Yeah, there we are. And I'm going to break you into two groups, and I think it would be best if you went into some smaller groups within those groups, because obviously Donna can't talk with Ron way back there. But if you get together in groups of maybe five or six, and this half of the room is going to talk about love, because the movie is talking about love, the reality of love, or is it reality? The experience of love, or is it love being experienced? And the conversation about, does love evolve? Does love start somewhere and evolve into something else? And if it does, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And if it doesn't, is that a good thing or a bad thing? But if it does evolve, what stage would you like to capture it at and hold on to? So if love evolves, yes or no, is it a good thing or a bad thing? And at what stage would you capture it at? So go into groups of about five or six people and have that conversation. You are looking at utopia. What would be the best things about a perfect world? And Spike Jonze was trying to create that. He was trying to create a world with no messiness, except that it seemed to get really messy. So what would be the best things about a perfect world, and what would love look like in a perfect world? Love being one of the messiest things that can happen to us. What would it look like in a perfect world? So again, try to gather in groups of five or six and have that conversation. I'm going to give you a full 10 minutes to do that talking, and then I'm going to bring you back and just have you share a little bit with the two groups. Okay? So microphones on either side. First of all, does love evolve? How did you how did you think about that in your different groups?
Yes.
Good thing or bad thing?
It's a good thing. What happens. Love constantly changes, and there's so many different kinds of love, but yeah, if it didn't change, it would be static and it would be boring. I mean, one of the things love between two people, up and down, and it.
Watch out, Steve. She's gonna smack you there.
What's coming?
But the other thing we talked about is commitment and hope and justice.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll flash over here to Utopia. And what would be the best things about a perfect world? Did you have ideas about what the best thing in your perfect world would be?
We do.
John's going to share that?
I guess.
would be very different, and it wouldn't be a concept like we would know now, like there would be no sickness. There would be that, and dysfunction, but it would be able to be handled, and handled well. There would be plenty of food for everyone, and food that had all the nutrients in it. And we would be sharing. We'd be sharing. There's a lot more, but you get the idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jean is really wishing she'd been on this side of the room so she could share about that. Okay. Anyone else want to say, okay, if you thought that love evolved, what stage would you prefer it at? I'm sure as a group you could come to consensus on that, but maybe not. But what stage would you like to have love and evolving love arrested at? John?
The conversation we had was around what evolve means, and if evolve means that it constantly gets better or better or higher or higher, we weren't sure that that was necessarily the case with love. Love continues to change all the time, and it morphs and it becomes different things. So it was really hard to say at what stage, because that suggests that there are levels.
Mm-hmm.
There's just different ways of forming it up into different things, so we didn't really answer that question.
Okay. Anyone else take a stab at it without getting caught up on the word evolve?
Our group said yes, love evolves, and we said yes, it's a good thing. And we based it on getting to know someone. You can be out with somebody for a great night and say, yeah, I love you. But you want to stay there? No, that wouldn't be where we would prefer to stay. So the idea is we would like to get to know you, and when you really know someone, and it can take a few years, and then you've got things right, that's where usually you'd like to stay, because now you know the person. You know they're going to have good days and bad days. You know the person, and that's where we would like to stay.
So even with all its complexities, getting to the place where you knew and understand that would be a comfortable place to stay. Okay, what would love look like in a perfect world? Anyone want to answer that? Wendy, you want to share what your group said?
I have a whole list of things here, but in your answer to that, what would love look like? We said unconditional, and that was kind of our biggie, unconditional love. But I'll just go through a few things. Our first one was no greed. We thought if we could get rid of greed in the world, we'd get rid of a lot of the problems like war. We'd have peace, obviously. We did mention sickness. No social classes. That would be nice to have equality for everybody. Everybody would be equal. A level playing field, as we called it. Then Mel got this one about doing what you love professionally. Wouldn't that be nice if we could all do what we loved and be able to make a living at it? And then we had equal distribution of wealth, which we know is a real problem in our world. It would be nice if we all shared the money more. And then we got one, we thought we'd put this in for Greta, with no religions. Thought that would be good, because that causes a lot of strife and wars and everything in our world. And then we had self-love, wanting to become a better person, again, revolving around this church, I thought. And then we thought we'd have the Care Bears as our mentors or mascots. Would be good, too.
Very exciting. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else want to share what they felt love in a utopia might look like?
I think that we agreed with what you read earlier, that there would have to be an acceptance of imperfection in order to have real love, and that a perfect world couldn't be absolutely perfect, because there'd be no challenge, no goals. So it's sort of like the princess and the pea. You'd have to have some little niggly things that would make you want to perfect things.
Produce a pearl.
Yes. Produce the pearl. Okay, any of you want to switch and just, you know, think about, like, quickly, without having a chance to have a conversation, does love evolve, and where would you want it to stop? Any of you have any, just off the top of your head, thoughts around that?
I liked what John had to say.
You liked what John had to say? Okay.
If there's actual interest and intention for love progressing, it would evolve in a certain way, not prescribed by any human minds, like it should be this way or that way, but it would evolve, and seems to me it would eventually would be something quite different than what we know now.
Thank you. And what about your utopia? What would you want to see in it, and would love work in utopia? Anything that was missed on the list that were shared there?
You once said a few weeks ago that this was very memorable, that love without justice is banal and justice without love is cruel. And that really stuck, because I thought that was 100% right on. And
that's actually a John Dominic Crossan quote. I was quoting John Dominic Crossan.
Yeah, but you found it.
Okay. It's fine, but okay. I just didn't want it out there that I had actually said that. Okay, so finding our way to combining those two things would be the result of utopia. Karen.
Concept of evolution. We talked a little bit about the perfect world not ever being static. There will always be challenges. You know, the goal for a perfect world would be to make sure that, you know, we got our values right, that we were incorporating other views, other people, and recognizing that, of course, there will be challenges, but there won't be any barriers in place to overcome those challenges that would have the processes right to overcome them in a respectful way. And just also recognizing that maybe it's elusive. We're always going to be chasing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. We share a perspective. I share a perspective here each Sunday, and then when you see the slide go up, it has the S in the brackets, and as you know, that's so that you take what it is that I may have offered, and you wrap your own perspective around it, and then have the responsibility with sharing that beyond this place, so that exponentially how we see and understand the world, not as a great single whole, but as the diverse, incredibly evolutionary way that we think can be shared beyond this place, and we can continue to add to what's offered here, and so inspire and lift up and edify what is out there. So thank you very much for taking that bracketed time and sharing today, and offering the insights that you had amongst your group, and I hope the conversation continues from here and becomes only deeper and richer as you share it beyond this place. So thank you very, very much.